this up about Alice. He's a Mormon missionary or a Mormon pastor's son. And by the way, the devil loves picking off preachers and preachers' kids, Sunday school kids, right? And boy, if he can get your kids, you think that isn't a ripe apple for him to pluck? Hey, he goes after preachers too. You wouldn't believe how many pastors and evangelical Bible preaching churches are practicing Satanists. If you don't believe me, pick up some of the books by people like The Beautiful Side of Evil and some of the others that written about this. Some of these Satanist connections and how many of them are actually pastors and Sunday school teachers. Okay? Pretty scary. But Luther said it, right? He said, the devil is in the pew next to you. Be ready. Next, please. Yeah. Welcome to my nightmare. Some of these songs. Hey, here's a good one. Ethel. It goes like this. One thing I miss is Ethel and her skeleton kiss. We made love last night by the refrigerator light. Ethel, Ethel, come and squeeze me with your arms. Ethel, Ethel, come and squeeze me with your charms. One thing's no lie. Ethel's frigid as an Eskimo pie. She's really cool in bed. She ought to be, because Ethel's dead. You know what the technical term for sex with dead bodies is? Necrophilia. Yuck. Good stuff. Next, please. I could go on and on. I got some of the full copies and stuff. It's unbelievable. Here's a symbol we run across a lot. Inverted crosses. Applies to only one person, doesn't it? Again, mockery. When you get into the occult, you get into a lot of negative approaches to things. They do things backwards. They do things upside down. They deliberately pollute and you know, make dirty things that are good, clean, and right. Okay? You're going to see that a lot. In their black masses, they recite the Lord's Prayer backwards. And, you know, they love upside down crosses. They wear them. Next, please. So, for example, in some of these occult satanic groups like Slayer, they wear them in themselves all the time. Next, please. You're going to see it on other guys who are into this stuff, like Ozzy Osbourne. See the upside-down cross in the background? By the way, this particular album, only Christians can really appreciate. Because here's that Ozzy on the front. You know, he's a Diary of the Mammy. He's all bloody and gashy and looking weird. Little kids over there with a book of sorcery. He just killed his sacrifice. You go to the back side of this album, and the kid's gone, and this guy slumped over there. He's dead. And a new Ozzy, all combed out, clean, raised up, glowing tassel, brilliant white suit. He's been born again. You understand? And you're going to see a lot of this subtle mockery, too, in between. And nobody else even knows what the symbols are at, what they're getting at, except the people who know Jesus Christ. Next. And it's making everybody callous, and maybe everybody a little bit hostile. Speak of the devil. Yeah, he sure is, okay? And we could go into lycanthropy, the possession of not only human beings, but also animals. And occasionally, like Nebuchadnezzar, the Old Testament, a spirit of some animal nature taking over. But people don't turn into animals. That werewolf business isn't that. But you see animals, dogs, wolves, and others who often exhibit, down through history, they have many times, unusual intelligence and viciousness. What do you got? It's like the swine herd of the Gadarene, right? We shouldn't be surprised. We should understand these things because the Bible reveals them. Those out there get it all twisted around. If they can convince everybody it's just Halloween, just mythology, don't worry about it. But nobody even tries to stop it. And that's what's happening in our society today. And that's why this stuff is proliferating like never before. Next, please. Pseudo-scientific approach, right? Here's the Satanic Bible by Anton Vandor LaVey. You saw the hexagram, the six-pointed figure in the circle. Here's a pentagram, 5 points. Also with a goat's head in it. Now, that shouldn't surprise people who know Hebrew, right? Because if you look it up in your lexicons, you find that the word that is translated for devil or demon can also be translated hairy one, kid, or goat. And if you're familiar with, like, the Police, their album Synchronicity, some of you studied the writings of Dr. Jung, you know, the occultist, Synchronicity System. On that particular album, they have goats all over it. Hey, a lot of kids are wearing these bent single horns. They call it the Italian horn. I just picked up one from Pangaway the other day. It has these two bent horns. It's goat horns, you know, symbols of Satan, and it has this right in the middle of it. I'm coming to that next. Hang on. Look who publishes this. Could you focus a little better? Avon, guys. Okay, now that's not your makeup people as far as I know, but this is where a lot of girls buy your romance novels at Kmart and Shopko and Prangyway, right? You know what I mean? Sears and whatever you get these garbage things. Well, anyway, and see the Jewish symbols, the letters around the outside? And you got some groups that put a lot of this. Remember the Rolling Stones put out their album, Their Satanic Majesty's Request, had Goat's Head Soup, Dancing with Mr. D, Sympathy for the Devil. Remember those songs? Okay, so you just see it. When you see goats and hooves and things. Next, please. Here he is. This is Anton LaVey. Two things I want you to remember. One is remember that face, that bald head, deep, dark, sunk eyes, that Fu Manchu mustache and beard. You're going to see it again. And look at his hand. Hey, when I was in school, guys, we did two things to be dirty. One was to flip in the bird. Everybody knew what that meant, right? And the other was to do this. Dirty, so-and-so. Nobody knew what it meant. We had all kinds of theories, right? Well, it's the universal hand sign for those who worship the powers of darkness. You see Anton LaVey using it here. You see it all the time in concerts, right? You're going to see lots of it here. I had caused quite an uproar. Over on the west side of Wisconsin, you have a high school over there, and they saw this thing, and the whole place went nuts. I said, okay, what happened? My deodorant fail? My breath? You know, why you guys all, you know, everybody just went, I'm, yeah. They said, well, the mascot for our school is the Red Devils. And we got a new teacher that came in and took over the cheerleading squad. And she taught us a new cheer. And it goes like this. The devils, the red, red devils. Somebody knew too much. They were upset. Okay? That doesn't mean the Texas Longhorns are a bunch of Satanists. Okay? People often use these symbols and they don't know it. But hey, you know, if somebody walks up and shakes hands and he leaves those fingers out and he doesn't have arthritis, you ought to at least be suspicious. Okay? Next, please. All right. Hotel California. When that came out, I thought to myself, what's the hotel got to do with anything? So I learned that this happens to be the headquarters of Anton LaVey's church. Formerly a Catholic institution, bought out in the year 1969 by Anton LaVey's Satanic Church. It was a hotel, the Hotel California. You remember the song? We haven't had that spirit here since 69. Next, please. You have all kinds of people who I am told are members of that organization. You got the members of the band here. If you remember the article written about the Eagles in Time magazine of how they were the personal mentor or teachers was Anton LaVey in the writings of Carlos Castaneda. Remember him? And his monumental occult writing, The Eagle. Okay? That's where they got the name and the whole work. We may not know all the rest of these guys in here, but there is one guy up here we've seen before. Is that in the window? Let's go to the next slide and take a better look at that guy. Where did you see a guy with a dark, bald head, dark, deep-sunk eyes, Fu Manchu mustache and beard before? Anton LaVey claims to be the technical advisor to some of the biggest names in the rock industry. He was the star in the movie Rosemary's Baby. Who was he? Remember that one? He was Satan. He is listed as the one and only technical advisor to the movie The Exorcist. He's all over the place. Okay? Next, please. He wrote the Satanic Bible, and again, deception is the word. That's what occultist means. It means the hidden or covered up thing. Anton LaVey claims that the devil doesn't even exist. Now, would you call that covered up lie and distortion? What's he doing all this stuff for then, right? He claims that Satan is the collective libidinal of mankind, is the modern, you know, free-minded thinking, the philosophy of the modern man and all this stuff. Well, here's the words of the song. Last two verses go like this. Ignore the two gays down here. Just look at the words, will you? Okay, it says, mirrors on the ceiling, pink champagne on ice. And she says we're all prisoners here of our own device. While down in the master's chambers, they gather for the feast. And they stab it with their steely knives. But they just can't kill the beast. Remember that from the book of Revelation? Servant of Satan? Now, if you don't see a sacrifice, maybe even a human sacrifice in those words, then what are they talking about? Last verse goes like this. Last thing I remember, I was headed for the door. I had to find a passage back to the place I was before. Relax for tonight, man. We're programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. And that, my friend, is a lie. There is nothing that any human being can get into. I don't care how wicked you might have sinned, how many people you might have killed, how bad you may have been. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. Right? Try to tell that to a guy like Paul, right? He knows. Yeah, sir. I really don't know. It's very, I would say very remote if it is, and it's nothing you can jump on. You got enough stuff to jump on. Yeah, that's like, I didn't mention it, but there's other subliminal techniques that they jump on, like where you just listen to a song backwards, and you think you hear backwards things out of it, even though they have not reversed the recording. That may or may not be true, but you can't prove it. See? So you get like Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, and you hear all this stuff backwards, another one, Bites the Dust, Decided to Smoke. I got all of it. But number one, you can't prove it. Number two, I'm not sure that is really technically possible in most cases, because if you've ever heard some of it, a reversed message is absolutely nothing like you would think it would be. Okay? It doesn't work that way because it mirrors every little nuance of that sound, and when it's backwards, you never guess that's what that was turned around. You know what I mean? And for that reason, don't even mess with it. Think of stuff that's very clear and up front, especially if you're dealing with kids. Because, you know, if you fill out one little obscure, maybe not, or they could jump on thing, guess what happens to your whole presentation? Okay? Just stay there, the solid ground. You know, I think, sure, these guys, they're looking for any way they can mock and make references to. And that is a good possibility, but they never said it. You know, when they didn't say anything about these things, they aren't going to either. Next, please. Mm-hmm. Good point. Motley Crue wearing pentagrams on their symbol, their things, you know, their fists over there, his leathers and all that stuff. And of course, that's sadism and masochism, isn't it? That's violent stuff. Next, please. Oh, I can say so much about any of these guys. The women get into it, the goat up at the top, human skulls and bones below, hell hath no fury. Ah, next. It is unbelievable. Next, please. What they are doing with all this and where they go with her. Judas Priest, of course, if you look it up in slang and euphemism, that's a substitute for cursing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Judas Priest.
Right? They couldn't call the group Jesus Christ, so they had to go with Second Best. Kiss did the same thing. They wanted to call their group Jesus Christ, too, and they wouldn't let them. Oh, it's coming. Next, please. And of course, you can't believe their religion. Here's Dio. See the pastor down here, chained up and drowning. You know what the title of this album is? Holy Diver. Now, you talk about mockery. And, of course, what it's suggesting here is even the pastors and the priests, they're no protection. They can't fight Satan, see? And that's a big message in a lot of the horror movies, isn't it? How many of you saw Michael Jackson's video Thriller? Okay, you remember that baby? Remember that, you know, it starts out, he's trying to take this girl out into the dark. Where's he taking her? Take her to the cemetery, right? He's trying to get out there by the cemetery. Thriller, you know, he's following him. Yeah, I'm coming. All right, get out there. And, of course, as soon as they get near there, it starts happening. Out of the graves comes all these dead bodies, right, these zombies, and they're rotten face, and they crawl out of the dirt and out of the mausoleum, and the lid slips open off of the casket, and here they come. And they slink around and surround him, right? Thriller! And he's out in the middle there, and all of a sudden she looks up, and there they are, all the way around her. There's no place to escape. And she turns to Michael, and what's happened to him? He's turned into one, too. Glassy white eyes, distorted features, you know. And they go in this weird dance. And I mean, it's gross. I mean, one guy leans over, and the blood just runs out in the puddle. The other one leans this way, and the arm flops off on the ground. And it's just, you know, sick, gross, dying bodies, you know. And there's, you know, they're dancing around out there all around her, and she sees a hole, and she dives through it and runs in this house, slams, locks the doors. All the windows are boarded up. All the doors are locked. Is she safe? No way. They literally rip through the walls, up through the floor. They surround her. There's no place to escape. There ain't no God. There ain't no Jesus. Nobody's going to protect this poor girl. They're about to grab her, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. And there she is in this brightly lit, nice apartment. And Michael's standing there, hey, baby, you know, Thriller, you know. And oh, must have been a dream. She just shook like crazy, but he gets up. Come on, come with me. And just before they step out the door, he turns back and looks at you one more time. And those glassy white eyes are back. It wasn't a dream at all. And they're going to do it again. But you see the message coming through? There ain't no God going to protect you. There ain't no Jesus going to help you. You better play the ball game, baby, or you're going to pay. That isn't true. But it sure is shaking a lot of kids' confidence, isn't it? You got a lot of kids having nightmares. I know I ask the kids all the time. How many of you guys have nightmares at least once a week? Should not be. Next, please. Here's your hand sign by Black Sabbath. Rises from the dead. I only know one guy that's pulled that one off yet. And it wasn't these guys, right? Look at the symbol of the group. What is it? It's an acrostic. It's a cross. They use a cross for the symbol of the group. What's a Black Sabbath? The day upon which those who worship the powers of darkness gather for their meetings. We have many of them. The biggest one in the world is what day? What holiday in America? Halloween. You talk about that's unprecedented in the history of the world. You know that? There has never been a celebration of the powers of darkness and evil and death such as we have every year in the United States of America in the history of the world. On that scale, sanctioned by the whole government. I've got a little write-up on the history of Halloween 2, which Ron has, and some of you might want to take a look at that one sometime. I just cite some of the occultists that write about it and where it came from, Samhain, you know, and they have so many of these Black Sabbaths. Next, please. Here's a group, Nazareth, Expect No Mercy. See what this is saying? You got these two guys fighting. Now, what do you suppose that guy up there represents? Look at the fangs and the horns. You don't suppose he might represent evil, do you? Well, then you got this other guy that has no fangs, no horn. He might represent good, perhaps. If this is the struggle between good and evil, what are they fighting over? What's in the background? Somebody's mind. And if this is the battle between good and evil over someone's mind, who's about to win? Who's down on his knees? Who's about to finish him off? Hey, guys, we need to tell the world loud and clear over and over again that evil is not more powerful than good, that hate is not more powerful than love, that Satan is not more powerful than Christ. And there's a whole lot of people out there that need hope. The one thing I have to convince occultists of, whether it's in witchcraft or whatever, I have to convince them that they come out, they give their lives to Christ, they put their faith and trust in Jesus, that the others can't touch them, they're safe. And I'm not going to tell them needlessly that they might not be oppressed and maybe be murdered by these people once they get out. I don't know by what death they may glorify God, but I know where they're going to wake up. And I know that nothing is going to happen to them, absolutely nothing, unless it is permitted by this wonderful, loving God. And it will always be for some good purpose. Maybe for them, maybe not, maybe for somebody else. But it's going to have a good purpose. Great shall be the reward in heaven. They have nothing to fear. If they believe that, they are free. And if they don't, they're lost. And we've had some pretty sad failures. But that was the crucial question right there. Give your life to Christ, trust Him, and you're free. And I'll tell you, they make some pretty dynamite Christians. Next, please. Helter Skelter. Told you about it before. If you haven't read the book before, get ready with a basket nearby because you might heave when you get to the middle of all their pictures. But you really ought to check it out because this tells you about Helter Skelter. There's a song out by Motley Crue, Helter Skelter. There's another one out by another group, Helter Skelter. It's popping all over the place. And a lot of them go by other names. But it's talking about what we might identify as Armageddon, the ultimate battle. The destruction of the world. The reduction of all societies and cultures to ashes so that a new one world government, one world economy, one world religion will arise. And to do that, we must open the gate. We must unleash the universal powers and forces to finally do the one and end-time battle against all these other capitalistic, Christian, religious mythologies and religions. Sound a little familiar? Those of you who saw Ghostbusters, that was the point, wasn't it? That building was to open the gate. That is the very theme of the book, The Necronomicon. You're going to hear about this all over the place. They may call it Helter Skelter. They may call it, like the nihilists, the final reduction of all the world, or Marx does, you know, the final revolution. Whatever they're going to call it, it's all going to go down the same thing. It's all intermingled with the New Age movement and all the rest of that. Guys, that's what, you know, Ron kind of hit on the head there when he said this stuff is all interrelated. And that's why I wound up giving explanations on this and presentations on that and that and the other. If you get started on this, you wind up at all these things because they're all connected. Next, please. And here it is again. Remember these movies? There's a trilogy. The first one was The Omen. Second was Damien. Now The Final Conflict. The growth and development of the Antichrist. And see the symbol of this guy? What is it? 666, the mark of the beast. Revelation 15, right? Next, please. You'll look for it. It's all over the place. Here's another one. This is the movie they made out of the concert of Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult, two occult groups. Now, you see all these symbols here? First of all, you have Blue Oyster Cult's symbol, where they make a question mark out of the cross, you know, mocking Jesus. And then you see these power beams going out and destroying major architectural features of the world. Big Ben, the Golden Gate Bridge, Pagoda of Japan, Empire State Building, out to destroy the world for Satan. See the hand sign in the background? See the fingers sticking up? See it here? There's your satanic sign again. Okay? All this stuff worked in. That's what they're pushing. Black and blue. Next. You're going to see this stuff everywhere now. You're going to be nuts, you know, because everything you turn around, you're going to see it here and there. Number of the Beast, 666, Iron Maiden. Of course, this is Eddie, the symbol of their group. He represents pure evil. Okay, ultimate evil. He's a rotting corpse. He's the spirit of the group, they say. Sure is. And he's got a devil on the string. He's got people on the string. They're all in hell. Next, please. And Iron Maiden, of course, is a body suit with spikes in it. They used to torture people to death. You put them and slam it on them and just punch holes all over their bodies all at once. Yeah. And here they are pointing the way to hell. These guys even have the gall. Just in case you didn't know what it was, they quote the book of Revelation on it, just so you know what the number 666 is all about. Now, that's pretty grass, isn't it? Next, please. Up front, if nothing else. And you know what they all say? We have nothing to do with the occult. They do that. All their videos, they have a disclaimer on them all. Here's what they're after, guys. They will not stop for anything less. And believe it or not, someday, they're going to have it, aren't they? They are, aren't they? Matthew 24. There's coming a time, dear friends, when not one nation will accept Christians, where you shall be despised by all nations on account of my name, Jesus said. There's coming a day, 1 Peter chapter 2, where because of the patience of the Lord, you know, those days will extend until he has saved every last soul he can save, isn't he? Where the whole world is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. The whole world is going to be the days of Noah. No more souls saved, where evil is going to take over. And this world will not stop one second sooner until Jesus has saved every soul he can. It will not go on one split second longer. So someday they're going to have it, aren't they? For a second. And it's going to be all over. Okay? And who wins in the end? We do. Because he already has. Next, please. Sabbath, bloody Sabbath. Sorry for the picture. Nudes and everything else, that's nothing. Some of these albums have got full-length nudes all over them. You'd think that'd be illegal. Nope. This guy gave his life away with the backside. He's on a deathbed. Here he is. Now he's dead, and the demons are ripping him up, taking him off to hell. 666 below the skull. Next, please. Here's even a grosser symbol. This is the witch's sabbat. This is where they get it from. It's a conglomeration of all these occult symbols. It's hideous. There's a group called Angel Witch. This is the symbol of the group even, you know. You're going to see this in occult books. What a contrast between this hideous thing, pentacle and all, next, and this one. Who are you going to choose, right? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? Is there really any choice? You would think that all that stuff would be a terrible turnoff, but I have kids all the time telling me stuff like, oh, man, I dig these guys so much. They are so evil. And yes, friends, there is a part of us that is wicked, the flesh, the old Adam, the old man. And it does love sin, and it does love evil. But praise God, there's a part of you also that despises and hates that. You are to crucify the flesh. You are to seek out Christ in his ways. I just want you to know this, guys, and you have some tremendous alternatives. I'm not going to say all the groups are bad and evil. I have no idea how much the lunar technology is in there.
But that all by itself makes an awful lot of stuff suspect, isn't it? I don't know what's safe anymore. When you're sitting there watching this movie, reading this dirty book, listening to some of this music, you got one question you got to ask yourself. Jesus is right there with you, isn't he? He's watching and looking at what you're doing, too. Do you think he approves? Are you putting a smile on his face, or are you breaking his heart and kindling his anger? You got to make up your own mind. You got to make up your own decisions. I'm sharing with you what I've come through, what I found, and what I feel. You search it out for yourself. But boy, we got some good stuff out there that you don't have to worry about. There is Christian music in every category. I don't care, from the heaviest metal on down to the softest. Christian videos, Christian movies, Christian magazines. Some of the best stuff that's in the world today. I love it. My kids, I drag them off to the Christian bookstore and they load up on the stuff. Hey, I'm militant about it, guys. I've even hosted Christian dances, you know. and we have, you know, Christian movies available. We make them to the kids. I make sure my kids have Christian teen magazines, you know. You aren't going to avoid it all. It's everywhere. If a kid goes to public school, you're going to get thrown at you every day, aren't you? But it's like poison. It's like junk food. It's like pollution. You avoid as much as you can, and you go after what's good. In fact, I recommend the principle of displacement above all else. I have never been able to change something in my life by direct action. I have been able to displace it and undo it. Like I said, Philippians 4:8. I avoid the bad as much as possible, but I deliberately choose out and fill my life with what is good. And some of you discovered it already. I know that our church has gotten involved in it because we put out programs like Crosswalk. Okay, we've gone after some of these things. There are groups, contemporary Christian groups, that are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Okay, and we make it available to our kids. We promote it. Hey, when we go roller skating and we've rented out the building ourselves, we bring our own music. Be militant. The kids need it, so do you. Jesus deserves it. He deserves our very best. Okay? I wanted to share some of these things with you tonight because they mean a lot to me. And because I think the kids, and really all of us, need all the help we can get. Okay, does that make sense? How about some questions? Yes, sir. You bet it does. Just like Christian books. You have Reformed theology, Pentecostal theology, millennialism. You betcha. Those are some things that dominate. One of the reasons why is because our church hasn't been very big about giving an alternative. And here's what, you know, like anything else, you have to pick and choose. I know even as pastors and so forth, you know, we pick up, well, you know, there's been some good articles in Plain Truth, and that's from a cult group, right? And you can even find some good articles in the Watchtower, and I basically try to be eclectic. I try to pick and choose what's good and what's best. I don't want to mix my witness by condoning or trying to give the impression that all this is good. And I tell the kids, too, I said, you got to be selective. But I'll tell you what, guys, if we're not selective in what our kids are watching on TV and when they go to a PG-13 movie and so forth, we have no right, I think, to come down too hard on Christian contemporary artists compared to Black Sabbath and let our kids listen to that. You know what I mean? I said, let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to be discerning. In fact, I would say this. I'd give you a whole separate talk on contemporary Christian because some of those is not designed for Christians. Let's take the group Stryper, for example. They openly tell you they are going after non-Christian people. And for most of our kids, I think that'd probably be a step in the wrong direction. We want to keep our kids into as mellow as stuff. I mean, you don't want to introduce them into something that's going to take them, you know, into harder, heavier, and whatever. You know, again, moderation. But, you know, you got to be selective. And I listen to stuff, too, and I tell the kids, you know, when they come up with this big thing about, well, when the rapture comes, you know, I say, hey, guys, you know, that's the resurrection. They got it wrong. You know, you can read the Bible yourself. You know, we went through in confirmation. You know, that's junk. Okay? I have to do that no matter what. I don't care if it's Boys Life magazine or you know, popular science. There's science books at school. There's social studies books, right? The latest sex ed course. I mean, you're battling this all the time. And I guess what I'm thinking here is that if we aren't going to do a decent job going after the secular things out there, we aren't going to, you know, make clear and sharp the distinctions there and jump on the Christian ones, then I think we've got the cart before the horse. Let's get the secular and work into it. You understand what I mean? And as an alternative, I guess you got it. Sometimes you're saying, which would you rather? You know, and there's a lot of ways of looking at it. But depending on where your kids are at and where yourself is at, you better be discerning. You're right. And you better be selective. And so what I do is I buy the stuff and record and put together my own combinations. You know, sort of like a KTEL job, you know. So they got this one by this group and this one by that group and so forth. And that one isn't too good and so forth. You know, I would do that anyway. Okay? But some of you are interested, you might want to pick these up here. Now, again, this is not an endorsement of all these groups and all their music. I don't endorse anything that way. I don't endorse everything Luther said either. Do you? You better not. Okay? You got to be selective, and you got to be eclectic. And I think if that's the approach you're going after, you know, picking and choosing what's good and trying to avoid the bad and make these distinctions, you're going to be a blessing to the kids, and they're also going to learn some discernment, too. They're going to start picking out. And again, you know, that's going to be helpful, but you're right. And some of them, you know, their theology, hey, some of these guys are just practically off the street. Get the earlier works of a group like Resurrection Band, hard rock group. They're all ex-prostitutes, junkies, you know, and their earlier works, they got a lot of stuff that's wrong in there, a lot of stuff that's, you know, either very shallow biblically or downright, you know, unbiblical. And as they go along, they're maturing, and their messages are getting more biblical and so on and so forth, you mean? And I have to do that with anything. I can do that with even some of our you know, Lutheran recordings and so forth. You got to be some of the hymns they're pushing in some of our church. You know what I mean? That's a struggle you're going to find on all fronts. So, you know, what I do is I try to take people where they're at. And so I got some kids out there that all they ever listen to is Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, Van Halen stuff. And so for their birthday, hey, guys, I want you to listen to Petra. When Petra came to Green Bay, they offered free admission to any young person that did not attend a church. I've got an extra-long Ford van. They just passed a law in Wisconsin to have seatbelts for everybody. They didn't back then. I loaded that baby up, okay? And for many of those kids, they were impressed. For some of them, two of them, in fact, that I know of, it was apparently the first step to leading them out of that stuff and back to the open arms of Jesus, okay? I'm not saying it always works that way, but I am convinced, at least in some cases, God is using some of this. Okay, so that's, you know, I can't give you a flat answer. And I'm not going to endorse any of these guys totally. Take them as they come, okay? And like some of your secular stuff may start out relatively unobjectionable, relatively clean, but watch them, you know. Look at somebody like Olivia Newton-John, used to do just the oldies, and then she came out with stuff like Physical, and now she's getting worse, you know. Just corrupting, going down the tubes. Watch out for someone like Amy Grant. She's going secular. We're losing that kid. If God doesn't intervene here pretty soon, I think she's going to be a very big disappointment and a blight and a bad witness to the whole Christian faith. You know what I mean? Watch guys like, well, some of these Andre Krauss who've been in jail, you know, B.J. Thomas. Look at some of these guys. They've had some struggles. And sometimes we lose them. Bob Dylan, we lost him entirely. He's gone, you know. For a while there, he was coming around, but he lost it. And I'll tell you what, I expect them to lose it when they try to keep one foot back in the secular realm. If they're trying to play both sides of this thing, they're going to lose. You got to escape, see? And that's what I encourage them. Hey, I pray for Ozzy. I write to some of these guys. I never got an answer back. But I'd love to see God convert Dio, you know, make that a Christian. Hey, he's done with some others. He took Leon Patello out of Santana. He took, you know, the Queen of Sleaze, Donna Summers. Got her so far. She's got a struggle, but hey, pray for her. So far, she's hanging in there. She's getting better. She may clear it all together. You know what I mean? It's neat. Neat to see some of the successes. Back in the back first. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's really up for grabs. I just got some articles, too, about how they've been doing some studies with rats and things, and they discovered that especially anapistic, dysrhythmic, okay, more of that kind of stuff, and how that can interfere with thinking process, can cause irregular developments in the brain, and so on and so forth. Really hard to say. On the one hand, it is just music, okay? And it can have associations, which I think you have to guard against, too. I mean, I don't care what you do, guys. If you're going to try a liturgical setting with the music to the background of the stripper, it ain't going to work. You know what I mean? Da, 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 da. I don't care what word you're going to put to it. You know what I mean? Because of the association. Maybe another culture would make any difference. Not here. See what I mean? You got some of those factors. There's a lot of them to deal with. But the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. You know, and I'll tell you what, it's hopeless if you're going to try to make the association, well, the devil's using it, so we shouldn't. The devil's using all of it. There's nothing he isn't using, guys. He's using quotes from our Bible. You're going to stop using that verse just because he's using satanic rites? He's using hymns right out of our hymnal. You know, he's using our Bibles, using our symbols. You're going to stop using crosses in your church because the devil's worshipers use it? You know what I mean? It's hopeless, that respect. I think in some cases, because it's pretty much now generally identified with that you may want to avoid it, at least for this period of time and in our culture, see what I mean? But I can't really say that any instrument. I would say volume and intensity, no question about it. Hey, they've done studies. They found, like, intensity, like these kids. I had a kid out playing tennis one day. Okay, Lee, serve him up, baby. And he says, wait a minute. He walked over his ghetto blaster. Boom, scorpions. You know, I'm going, oh, man, I'm going to get a headache with this one, you know. Okay, boom, I just creamed him. Boom, boom, boom. And Lee's a real jock, you know. I'm just murdering this guy, and he's getting mad at him, or frustrated, and knocking him over the fence. And I said, hey, Lee, hey, calm down, guy. Hey, hey, let me show you something. I walked over, boom, shut it off. I said, let's try one more set. And he beat me. I said, man, don't you see what this stuff's doing? You can't concentrate with this on here. You can't function with this. And I know kids that will not do their homework without their music playing. They can't stand a quiet room. They can't go to sleep at night without it. They're just like junkies. And any irritating thing, anything that will cause any kind of a negative reaction to the body, you expose it to you long enough, your body will adjust to it and you'll start craving it. Even something as destructive as alcohol, right, in large quantities, it inflames every tissue, it destroys every cell. And yet after a while, your body adjusts to that, and if you do without that alcohol, you go into withdrawal. I see kids that go in withdrawal with different kinds of music. And the intense stuff, you know, the distortion and so forth, seems to be that way, okay? So I'd say if you can avoid that and get, again, like the mellower you possibly can, the better. But I don't think you can say that any particular beat, any particular rhythm, any particular instrument, anything that itself is evil. See what I'm saying? It's just not that simple. Yes, sir. That's not true. In fact, they did a study on this, and you'll be interested to know it. I can get you the write-ups on it, too. What kinds of sounds will put you to sleep? You know what the best is? White noise. Static. Just bland noise. And you will have the longest and the deepest of what they call alpha state and lower state brainwaves activity, the deepest sleep for the longest period of time. And when you get into the more intense and distorted music, like heavy metal, that's an screaming vocals, right? You know, absolutely whining, bizarre, you know, weird, you know, licks and leads and so forth. And of course, intense words, usually about destructive, violent, angry things, suicide, you know, end of the world, that depressing stuff, that affects people and animals negatively in a lot of ways. So it's not that simple. But what I'm saying is, like anything else, you can get hooked on it, right? And I know kids that are literally hooked. And you can, I think that'd be just as true with your Christian heavy metal as it would be with none. See what I'm saying? Now, if that's where a person's at, I'd rather have them listening to Christian heavy metal than to the secular. See what I mean? And I think it's maybe a first step in the right direction, but we should all always be moving towards moderation. I don't care if it's eating or what. You know what I mean? And if you've got a kid that doesn't watch TV, don't turn him on even to Christian stuff, right? Keep him away from the tube and he's better off. Understand what I'm saying? And the same thing with foods. If a kid's not into sugar stuff, then why turn him on to vitamin-enriched sugar stuff? You see what I mean? You're safer to stay further away is what I'm saying. I just take people where they're at and try to always keep them towards a positive direction. But if that's where they're at, then don't try to expect them to listen to hymns and you know, Cowboy Bach and his chorales. He isn't going to go. It's not going to minister to them. Okay? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I see you're getting some Bach lovers in here. Okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, I cited that when I said that when it's brought into the conscious realm, as soon as you're even consciously aware that there's something wrong with it, its effect drops down because you have made some sort of a judgment, you've pulled it out of simply the subconscious and applied it to the conscious, and therefore it doesn't have as much effect on you. It's really a filtering process. But you're right, when you sleep and when you're distracted, that's why, believe it or not, and they've proven this, that commercials are more effective when you don't pay attention to them. If you watch that, crazy man, they're the Washington Open the history of the world can do all that stuff. That's trash. Well, good. But somebody else, they're just reading or talking to kids or whatever. They don't know why they're attracted and why they might buy this and over another. You see what I'm saying? And the people that do this stuff believe that they're more effective when you don't pay attention. They raise the volume. They make it bland. They make a big contrast to break your concentration. And many people get up and get something or start talking to somebody else. They want that. They don't want you to pay close attention. See what I'm getting at? And so I think, yes, that the effect, and by the way, it's worse than that because at night, they play the worst stuff, don't they? They know what they can get away with. And they will use unedited versions from 1 till 5. And the FCC has now officially sanctioned pornography on television from 1 to 5, haven't they? And that's probably the worst thing they could do. Because who's going to be watching it? Many of the unstable, the people that can't sleep, the suicidal, the homicidal, and you tell me this doesn't stir it up, you tell me that doesn't sometimes push them over the edge, you're nuts. Yes? There are some regular periodicals. You can write to the PMRC. I don't know if you heard of those people, the Parents Music Resource. That's Tip Gore and Company, all those gals, you know, the guy that sort of thing. Probably one that does a better job is Al Mensoni, M-E-N-C-O-N-I. It's out of California. I don't know if I got his address with me here or not. But he does a regular, huh? Yes, he sends out, if you get on his list, he'll send you a monthly newsletter with quotes and things, some of the latest coming up, research, all kinds of things, and introducing Christian. You know, give write-ups on Christian books and Christian contemporary music. Okay? And I would say he has a pretty even-handed approach to it. You know, some of these guys, they're out there, say, burn all the records, you know, trash it all out and shoot the rock stars, you know. really kind of a hysterical and I think overdone and really not constructive approach to it at all. Okay? I think these guys are, you know, they need prayers, they need help in many cases. They're victims. They're being used. And I think Al, you know, does a pretty good job of keeping that balanced deal to it. And I would recommend his materials. Okay, he doesn't do a whole lot of, he just cites them. You know, what's the latest shop talk? The latest quote by Billy Idol about getting nude at some of his concerts or something. You see what I mean? Just to keep you kind of in touch with what's going on in some of the newer groups. Otherwise, the simplest way is just keep going to your Christian or your secular racks, your record stores, and just look. Every now and then, pick up Heavy Metal Magazine. Pick up Circus. Just glance through it. You'll stay in touch. I'm not kidding you. Hey, I have no great authority. I got a family. I got two churches up in Wisconsin. I do all kinds of other ministry, TV ministry I was involved in, radio ministry. I haven't got tiny people. I got an army sending me stuff. But most of the time, I just, you know, when I'm in the malls, stop by the record store and leave through. Ooh-wee. And see, after this, you know, you're going to see a lot of this stuff. And if from time to time the Lord gives you the opportunity to maybe do some research into the occult, into drugs, into suicide, or whatever, you're going to see it there. It's going to stick out and slap you in the face. And then go to the magazine racks once in a while and pick up Circus, you know, Heavy Metal, some of these, Hip Raider, and just leaf through or buy one once in a while. You will be on top. Really. And I think that's important. I think every parent, every pastor, every youth leader, every teacher owes it to his kids to get into their world. Not just to, on the surface, be acquainted, but to intellectually penetrate it, to understand it in their terms. It's so easy to take pot shots. And that's why we miss so much in the occult, because it isn't the way you think. It's not what the horror movies say, and it's not what a lot of people think. And unless you learn it and understand it, it's like dealing with cults. Unless you've really gotten into the Jehovah's Witness philosophy teaching by their books and read their stuff, you're probably going to misunderstand it, and they're going to, it's going to be water off a duck's back because you aren't talking their language. You see what I mean? And the same thing with the kids. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't read the books I have, because some of the ones I do. I mean, in fact, I pick them up at the books at the libraries in schools, high schools. Okay, by our high school, for example, they had one that sounded good. The title of the book was The False Mystique of the Witches. Okay, and it sounded like, all right, you know, maybe my anthropologist can objectively look at this and criticize, right? No! You get to the back of the book, it actually had experiments in psychic phenomena and witchcraft and so forth that they recommended you try. I'm not kidding. And it was that way. Hey, I think your typical rock mags and so forth are saying that. They are promoting it. And they're promoting some pretty dirty stuff. Because if you read there, you know, they're using four-letter words and all that stuff. I mean, like I said, Circus, Hip Raider, just read them. And, you know, they got nudes in their breasts and things hanging out. I mean, I think that that is an encouragement. They may not say, you know, try Satanism and that sort of thing. In fact, like I said, most of them say, oh, we're not into it. Their music says it. Their stage show says it. You know, and their videos kind of seem to at least stir up the curiosity and the interest in it. But I don't know anybody saying kids ought to try sacrifices, you know what I mean? I don't think they work. It's just more subtle than that. Okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah?
The whole point, a lot of it psychologically speaking, is to make it seem objective. That's the whole thing. You can take this or leave this, and it's meant to seem unimpressive sometimes or very subtle, or other times it's meant
to look harmless. Yes, meant to like look harmless or good.
It's just a joke. Nothing might happen anyway. And yet, what they're not saying is that Satan's power is real and it can suck you in. And that's the whole point.
Well, Anton LaVey wrote a book on witchcraft. It's called The Complete Witch. And it was designed for everyday housewives. He says so in it. And it really comes on that way. And a lot of it looked very unobjectionable. Had some pretty kinky stuff in there. Suggested the girls should find the biggest, longest coat they've got, strip down nude, put on just their shoes, maybe nylons, and go walking down the street, especially in front of the, you know, the construction workers and so forth, and just feel the thrill. You know, just kind of kinky, you know what I mean? This kind of stuff, too, you know, supposedly heighten sexual appetite and so forth and blah, blah. You know, but, you know, I don't think too many people say, well, this is occult, demonic, and satanic, you know what I mean? But ultimately it was. You know, only discerning people would know the difference, you see. Most people never think anything, that sounds like what they do in sex ed class in high school, you know what I mean? But, no, and I think a lot of it is designed to make it look good. I've read a lot of books where they're trying to make it out like it's harmless, healthy, good, every kid ought to try it, everybody, you know, and they don't go into the yucky stuff, you know, just that it's a good way to learn about yourself and so on and so forth. So it's kind of a mixed thing, you know what I mean? But I would never recommend, and I really would from this before, never recommend that you pick up a, what's called primary source occult material. That is a book on anything to do with the occult written by somebody that's still in it. Okay? Because it's subtly designed to suck. In fact, you know, it may very well be that Satan himself has got his own influence no matter what the words say. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. And if she's not saying don't do it, if she's not negative to it, if she's not out of it, then I do not recommend even pastors to do that. By the way, I don't recommend you guys go out and buy the Satanic Bible or Encyclopedia of the Occult or anything like that, okay? In fact, I don't recommend that anybody, pastors included, even touch that stuff unless you really feel and have good indication that this is going to be a part of your ministry indicated by God and it will have his blessing upon it. Because I know a lot of pastors that felt compelled to check it out, and it tore them up, and they had to get away from it, okay? If it's not going to be your ministry, don't touch it. You can pick up books by ex-witches and ex-Satanists, you know, the latest stuff by Walter Martin or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, maybe. But be very careful. Okay, I don't remember who was the, I think you were next, yeah. Not as much, just like you don't have quite as dirty and so, but it's coming, it's getting there. Yes, and you do have some people in the country that's, you know, into this stuff. It's not big. You know, you have another kind of ball game going on there. You know, like you watch the Mandrell Sisters movie or something, and they start off with, you know, Charlie Pride singing about cheating on his wife, and then they'll have Willie Nelson singing about getting drunk all weekend, and a few other guys. Then they end up with a gospel medley. Yeah. Now, see, that has that's really and ultimately a satanic message also. You see, that it's okay. This stuff all goes together. You know, that's like the Doobie Brothers song, "Jesus and I." Just all right for me, you know. And, of course, Doobie Brothers, it's joints. You know, they're all on the drugs and stuff. Like that. No, those don't go together, and it's not acceptable. And Jesus doesn't just wink at sin and so forth. That without repentance, there is not forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there is not salvation. Without salvation, there's nothing but hell. And we need to keep that straight, right? Okay? So that's a good point also. But I do a whole separate talk on country. It's a little different ballgame. There's a lot of there's drugs and everything else in there, too. But it's a little more subtle, and it's not quite as much, but it's getting there. Yes, sir. Oh, well, that's good. You know, if she's not saying, you know, that go out and do it and so forth, that's constructive. And I think, you know, my conviction is I think everybody ought to know what's going on. That's why this stuff tonight, okay? Because you may have a friend getting in this stuff. Unless you know what to look for, you'd never really figure out what's going on. You can't help them. Man, when I was in college, you know, I saw kids getting into drugs and stuff. In some cases, I was so dumb, I didn't realize that's what's going on. And I missed a chance to help. Yes, sir. He was a sitting duck. And who are the people that should have been the friends to him? I was on a call-in show on Halloween once, and this guy called in from Iowa, very active in witchcraft and so forth, and he said that he got into it just, you know, parties and things like that, and assignments at school. Some of the teachers assigned mythology and occult materials, you know, those book reports and this, that, and the other, and just a little interest, and of course the movies and stuff were all into it, and some of the music and some of the magazines, and, you know, he heard about kids playing Dungeons and Dragons and this kind of thing, and eventually bumped into some people who were in for real, and they seemed so nice, so normal, so caring. And before he knew it, he was into it up there, and by the time he discovered that it was evil, yeah, if God didn't intervene directly, he'd still be in there. He'd have been dead by now. You're right. There is a beautiful side of evil, just like that book says. And it's very subtle. Hey, that woman, in that particular thing, when she was younger, she was assigned a spirit guide. You know what that spirit guide's name was? Jesus. She thought that she was with Jesus Christ, and it was a demon. Yes, sir. I could go on all night. Just let me put it this way. Get in touch with bad, bothered about Dungeons and Dragons. Have Ron call me if I can't do anything else. I'll give him the address and so forth. That's a whole parents' national organization. You must have something in your library by now on it, right? I don't know if I got anything with me or not. Gee, that's you two list of I should have been prepared. Yeah, comment. It's absolutely accurate. Put out by TSR Corporation out of Geneva, Wisconsin, actually. And it is. It's right out of the books, right out of the manuals. They have suicides and murders and stuff all over the world because of this. I've been contacted by military posts because it's wrecking families and guys, you know, military service, the whole works. The National Organization of Chiefs of Police are trying to get it banned. You name it. I mean, the thing is, it's destroying people. There are covens of witches that reportedly use it to determine novitiates. You know, depending on how well they play the game, they'll make a good witch. And they'll even use that to sort people out and stuff like this. I deal with kids all the time, flipping out in games. Kids, you know, in our churches and Sunday schools, you know, pastors' sons and professors' sons and daughters playing these games and so forth. You sit there and you just listen to what they're doing, you know, and the chant, the curses, everything else are perfect. In fact, I got several materials from Bad where it has right out of the Dungeon Master's Manual, right out of the Witchcraft Manual, right out of the Dungeon Master's Manual, right out of the Satanic Bible. Right, really, just back and forth. It's the real thing. They picked it right out of the books. The names, the gods, the demigods, the whole works are right out of the real books. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say every time you play with a Ouija board or Dungeons and Dragons that a demon's going to come and evolve, but you're inviting, if nothing else, you are getting a good introduction and education in it, which Satan may use. See what I'm saying? It's territory we don't belong in. And I don't know, I've never had any old kid, and I've got some DMs, dungeon masters, that I know personally, and I look them right in the eye and say, when you're sitting there playing that game, and Jesus is right there with you, what do you think he thinks? And they got to look away. I say to them, don't tell me it's right, man. If you can't ask Jesus to bless you, if you can't expect him to sanction it, if you can't in your heart know that this is okay, then don't. You can't be right. Okay? And, you know, the testimony speaks for them. There's parents all over the place trying to get this game destroyed. And they have conventions of this stuff. And you ought to see the weirdos that are into D&D and how many of them. Hey, I know groups where they have paid DMs where this lady or this guy, they pay for his house, everything, and all he does is be a master. And all he does is prepare for and work up the mazes and the whole works. His whole life's an occupation, and the whole group pays for him. Now, that's a commitment that goes far beyond a mere game. See what I mean? So, are you getting ideas? Yeah. Okay, it's not just a game, first of all, because it's a fantasy game. If it was like checkers and so forth, you'd say just a matter of that. But no, you're asked to assume a personality, assume, you know, occult powers, spells, things like that. And the manuals actually tell you to speak out loud. Say out loud. If you've ever been around and played it, like, you know, I have, they ask you to say your curses, your chants, and your enchantments out loud. And, of course, who's listening? The demons. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to take you at face value and answer that and actually enter in your game, but it has happened. Okay? It's more than a game because it's a game that has direct connection to the kingdom of darkness. And I put in the same category with pornography. They say it's just pictures. No, it's not just pictures because it has an effect on the mind. And Dungeons and Dragons, I think, also has effect on the soul in relationship to Jesus. So it's not that simple. I know they say that. And on the surface, it might look that way, but it really doesn't work out that way. And it's not just a movie. And it's not just a song. And it's not just a story. And it's not just a picture. See what I mean? These all have effects. And it'll be either positive or negative. I don't really know that I see something that is truly and totally neutral. Is there? Jesus put everything in black and white at you. Either for me or against me. Either gathering or scattering. You know, that which is not of the kingdom of light. See what I mean? Yes, sir. Yeah, it's just like the guy I talked to in Iowa. He just parties and they try this little levitation job and little seance and they burn a little candle. Yeah, and well, this one witch that's still over in our area, same thing, just some friends and so forth. And you want to talk about going through hell. And I can tell you, I can show you kids that's ex-D&D players, ex-DMs, and let them tell your story. And they'll tell you it's not just a game. But Satan gets involved. It's one of his things. Back to the first, yes. The game? Oh, the gate. Yeah, the whole principle of this is to open the realm to the spirit world, with the occult, the demonic. And, you know, they want to welcome and bring them in and let them take over the world. Okay? Did you see Ghostbusters? Okay, well, this whole movie was this building they identified as the gate. And at the right time, with the right combinations, it would open the demonic world, and all these spirits would come in and just take over the world. And they did it in a kind of a comical way, but that's what it was about. Okay? There is a movie and a book out, a horror movie called The Gate, and that's what that's all about. Okay? That it's opening up a new age of spirit control and the spirit realm. And what we're saying is it's a push by a lot of people, whether they know it or not, to let the demonic take over. To usher in, we would say, the age of the Antichrist, or bring on Armageddon, or whatever. And I'm not going to say the last word as to what those pictures and so forth are all about, but that's the way they're using it, and that's at least one possibility for some of that stuff. See what I mean?
You mentioned the book with that.
Yeah. The book is the Necronomicon. Now, again, guys, I don't recommend you get that one unless, you might want to try to find a write-up about it, because, the whole prologue is in dedication to Aleister Crowley, and it's all about the gate, okay? And that's the whole thing, is that they believe that this is the age now, however long it may or long not take, to finally reduce the world to ashes, all present societies, and let the spirit realm finally rule once and for all, okay? And so you're going to see all this nihilism. Well, by us, I just had a guy up in Madison that, he claims to be a nihilist, and because of the war in Nicaragua, he's going to take a baby puppy and burn it alive right there on the steps of the Capitol. He says, my belief is, as all nihilists are, that it has come the time to reduce all societies, existing societies, governments, and economies to ruin so that a new utopia can arise. See, same thing. And the Ayatollah Khamenei. Hey, the Ayatollah believes that the whole world, World War III is due, and if it happens, they are destined to come out on top. A lot of your Zionist Jews believe that if there's a world war, they are destined by Yahweh to come out on top and rule the world. The communists believe that a one-world proletariat revolution is due, and if it does, the communists will automatically rise to the top and rule the world and bring in a new utopia. So for different philosophies and point of views, they're all pushing the same thing. See? And that's why I think in concert, we may be pretty close to her. Yes, sir.
What do you think of other
role-playing games? I'm not going to say that all role-playing is bad. I think that the prodigal son did a pretty good job, but, and a few others in the scriptures, where you kind of think through what you're going to say and how you're going to do and whatever. It can be healthy. But a lot of role-playing, your values, clarification, and so forth, this kind of thing, I think can set up surreal or unrealistic situations and develop or promote negative, unchristian thought patterns. Okay? When you set up impossible situations like lifeboat, you've all heard of that one. Okay? Where you got somebody in the boat, and it can only survive so many, so who do you throw overboard? Well, the baby and the fat guy and the gal that's already sick. You see, it's promoting this Arianism, just like Hitler had, save the young, handsome, blonde doctor because he can contribute more. It promotes euthanasia, And with the role-playing. Now, see, you have Christian role-playing. I don't know if you've heard of Dragon Raid, okay? But that is the Christian version of D&D. Anybody ever heard of that before? Okay, and it is basically the same thing, and it's to overcome all these gnomes and so forth who are identified as the enemies by virtue. You memorize scripture passages, and you listen to find different virtues and things like this. Really, I'm not kidding. It's fascinating. I got all the write-up on that, too. Go to your local Christian bookstores and see if you can get some brochures or if he has anything on Dragon Raid. Okay, you have a cult. You have Christian fantasy games too, and so I'm not going to say that they're all evil. And again, I'd rather have them doing Dragon Raid than D&D. You see what I mean? And if you got kids into D&D, then maybe you can turn them on to Dragon Raid. I'm just saying that these are some of the things you might be able to do. Yes, ma'am. Oh yeah, yeah. Masters of the Universe. That's strictly occult mythology, isn't it? Skeletor is a satanic figure. He has the ram's head and so forth. He's dead. He has a skull with life and a body, purple and so forth. He has occult powers, and he will, join in with his other evil people. He'll make pacts with demons to try to get powers to defeat He-Man if he can get, She-Ra as a sacrifice for the demon, and then, of course, He-Man needs help, so he gets Evelyn or Evelyn, the Egyptian sorceress type, and she's going to help him out, and so they cast their spells and beat Skeletor, drive the demon back down and save, She-Ra. You know what I mean? And they try to say it, but it's good guys. It's good winning over evil and all this kind of stuff. But it's basically the Force all over again. You can use it for good or evil. And it gets really muddled. And again, it's not Christian. Okay? Yes, sir. Well, Smurfs are interesting. First of all, there's sorcery all through there. Papa Smurf is a wizard, isn't he? And then you got homosexuals like Vanity. I don't know if you knew that, but when he was first released, the Canadians put this out. It's from Canada. And he said that they were going to introduce a gay Smurf. And that's Vanity. And you got all kinds of other things in there, too. And some of it gets pretty scary, doesn't it? All I'm saying is that, it gets pretty bad when they use, cutesy little things like this and all the violence and things. The government's done a lot of studies that even this cutesy sort of cartoony stuff, Really doesn't help people. It kind of stirs up aggression, insecurities, angers, frustrations. You know, I think it's absolutely crummy that you use such cute little guys and put so much junk worked into it, you know? Such a basic principle, and then they work in this garbage. I mean, they did it with all the sitcoms, too, didn't they? You know, they take a perfectly good idea, and then later on, all of a sudden, they got gays in there, and they got illicit sex and cursing, and you know, yeah, the guys can't leave a good thing alone. So I don't know what to tell you, you know, but be selective. Some of the Smurf cartoons, I think, are pretty good front up front, you know, but there's some others that gets pretty bad from a Christian perspective. See that crummy? Yes, sir. This may be our last one. We'll let you guys all go. The bells are ringing. I don't think you can say that the words of demons and the writings and their spells and so forth are anything like the means of grace, like the word of God. No, I don't think it's in the same category. Really, their access to this world is through a human mind. Okay, their spells are simply strictly demonic. Okay, I don't think it's in the same category. I think the reason why they do it is because it promotes the whole thing in general. And, you know, I think that's a lot of it. People see so much as occult jewelry, they don't even take it seriously. They don't even think about it. And when their kids come home wearing it and so forth, parents only react that this might be the first indication their kids are getting mixed up in something wrong. See what I mean? And the kids get so callous to it and so used to it that when they're the real thing, they don't even get upset. They don't even get scared. I think there's a lot of this conditioning business going on. Maybe that's the most of it. I don't know that I see any much more to it, at least not yet. I don't think it really quite functions that way. See, like, for example, if the devil can convince kids that by wearing a cross, they're safe at school, he's got them right where he wants them. This is no talisman. No, this is no amulet. It's not going to protect you from anything. You know, no magic circle is going to protect you from the demons, and putting the Bible on your bed isn't going to protect you from the demons. And boy, if you believe that, you're using the Bible like it was a part of witchcraft, like it was a talisman or an amulet. And that itself is a cult, see? I didn't mention this before, but maybe I should, because I know Ron brought it up, and that's exorcism, okay? Exorcism, strictly speaking, is not Christian, at least not what exorcism identified in the Bible. It's used only once in the sons of Sceva, remember the book of Acts? And these were Jewish witches, and they tried to use the name Jesus like a formula, like a magic word, and the name Paul. It didn't work, did it? Okay? And see, that's exorcism. That's exorcism. Otherwise, everywhere the Bible talks about getting rid of demons, it's ekbalo. It's to cast out. And if you saw the movie The Exorcist, you saw classical exorcism, okay, where, in the end, who got possessed? Do you remember the movie how it ends? Here's a little girl, and the priest is going, finally in frustration because he won't leave, come out of her, come out of her, shook her, you know? And all of a sudden, the music gets weird, and you're looking from the priest's point of view down to the little girl, and she's laying there, and all of a sudden everything's getting fuzzy around the edges, and then you see his hands reaching down for her throat. And he goes, no, no, no. He runs and dives through the window, crashes to the street below, and dies in a puddle of blood. Because the demon came out of her, started possessing him, was going to use him to kill the girl, and he had to kill himself to keep that from happening. Who won? That is not Christian. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that those who would cast out the devil by the name of Jesus Christ and by faith in him ever is going to be possessed, period, or even oppressed. See that? The only thing that even comes close to that is the event when the disciples were trying to cast out one demon, and they weren't having any success because they really weren't that tuned into God. They weren't that open to challenge. Jesus said, do you not realize that only those with much prayer and fasting are able to cast such out of these? And I don't know if you guys have ever been on fasts or whether you've even prayed for one solid hour. How many of you have actually honestly prayed and been in communion with God continuously for 1 hour? That's what I thought. You guys have a religious experience ahead of you, and I defy you, I challenge you to do it. You spend an hour with God and see how your relationship with God is going to change. You see a wall come down. You see how close you get to Jesus. If you really start dedicating some time to him, I mean that. And I'm saying that, I'm standing up here as a product of some of these things. I mean, I don't care whether you think you're getting one word out of reading that book when you got that Bible open. It is the power of God and the salvation of those that believe. And every time you let your eyes hit that page, whether you're understanding one word of it or not, the power of God is going into your life. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's the way this ball game's won and lost. Not over ritual formulas. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, if you think that by saying those words three or four times over somebody's demon's going to leave, you deserve to get possessed. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Don't use occultism. Every book of witchcraft and Satanism I know of has at least one chapter on exorcism. That is witchcraft, to try to get them to move on. I think that's what Jesus was referring to once when he talked about a man with no mentioning of casting out of spirits or confrontation with Jesus Christ, that the demon left him because he was such a wreck. And in time, he put his house in order, you know, swept it and cleaned it all up. It must have been a wreck, like Mike Warnke. The Satan finally dropped him because he was such a wreck. He was worth nothing. Okay? And a lot of exorcism practices is self-flagellation, beating, deprivation, to become an unfit place for a demon, and they leave you alone. And that may work in some cases. So this guy, you know, did. And then he got himself in order again, got his health back or whatever it was. The demon returned, saw it in good shape. He brought seven more demons, and the guy's shape was worse in the end than it was in the beginning. Now, see, that's what happens apart from Christ. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at. You need me if you're going to beat this game. And if you think you can live through it and somehow manipulate these spirits and so forth on your own without the power of Christ, you're just asking for him to come back and get you worse than ever. And it happens. See what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't have the last word on all this stuff, but I've been looking at these verses a lot more and a lot more differently having studied the occult. And again, you know, from their point of view, some of these verses in Scripture are starting to make a little more sense, or at least having a little deeper meaning, I think, than we realize, because we don't really know what all's involved in this ballgame. Okay? I'd love to come back sometime and spend a couple hours just on the occult and show you lots and lots more. If you guys ever get bored stiff and want something to do or something on a night when you should be studying for a test, let me know. One last question. Yes, sir. You bet I have. I have personally confronted it. I'll tell you what, Guy, I think that probably it's a lot more prevalent than we think. Anytime you're talking about multiple personalities, you've read books like Sybil and so forth, you look at the Bible, what would you say? Multiple demon possessions, just like the Gazarene. And you talk about people who, you know, are able to, you know, occultists all speak in tongues and so forth, the spirit speaking to them, and occultic powers, unusual physical powers, all these kind of things, probably most, if not all, of your cases of what is identified in hospitals as paranoid schizophrenia, the incurable, looks to me, and I've taken psychology all through college and so forth, let alone in the seminary, looks to me like just classical demon possession. Hey, I had a missionary, one of our missionaries in New Guinea, he's a pastor over near Shawano, and he sat at our pastor's conference in Green Bay in the Holiday Inn, and with practically tears in his eyes, that guy was telling us a story about when he was over there, that one of his houseboys, you know, they had servants over there a lot, one of his houseboys, who otherwise looked like a perfectly fit, healthy human being, all of a sudden became deathly ill. And one of the other missionaries was a practicing GP right now in Chicago, medical missionary at the time, there. And those two went over there and examined this boy, and they could find absolutely nothing physical wrong with that guy, but he was dying, and just about every major organ in his body was just failing, shutting down and shutting off, and no reason for it whatsoever. And they talked to them and tried to find out what was going on, and finally he broke down and he told them that the shaman, the witch doctors, had cursed him. They had made an effigy, of like a voodoo doll of him, and they put it outside of his house, and he was cursed to die. And he was dying. The demons had just that much control over him that they were literally using his brain and shutting off his organs, just like turning off the switches in his head. You know that works. You can do that with drugs. Shut off the center parts of the hypothalamus, hypocalamus, and things start shutting off. And they pled with him that he would turn to Christ, he'd give his life to Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus, and this would all stop. And he died right there in this missionary's arms of no physical cause whatsoever. Very frustrating, but that's what they can do. And it need not happen. Okay? So, yeah, I think a lot more of it than we realize. I've run into it. Boy, you don't deal with witches like I have, and Satanists and so forth. I've gone into houses where, you know, these people were practically totally freaked out, and I felt the evil presence. I felt it in church. Some of you guys have probably been in places and you felt it too. Do what the Bible says. First of all, can demons read your mind? Is there any occasion in the whole Bible that they can read your mind? Only one person. Who's that? Okay, so if you can do anything with the demons, do like Jesus and the disciples did, out loud. And he said, right? And I've done that. I said, Lord, I feel something really wicked here. And I'm right in the middle of church, right? You know, and I'm going, I feel something really wicked here, Lord, and I don't know whether it is or isn't. But if it is, Lord, deliver me, protect me. And if this is a demon in this place, then I, in the name of Jesus, command you in Christ's name to leave here and leave me alone. I told many pastors to do the same thing. Okay, I've had pastors come up to me and they couldn't even finish the service on Sunday morning. I'm not kidding. And they found out they were told that there were covens out there, you know, praying hexes on him and cursing him every Sunday morning, trying to disrupt his services. Is just going into a church going to protect you from the demons? And by the way, where are demons likely to hang out a little bit more than other places? 801 the month. No, no. Churches, cemeteries. Why? Because believe it or not, friends, even in churches, are people often their thoughts on things like death, morbidity, the demonic? You better believe it. Okay? And so they know where to hang around, where they're going to get people in the right frame of mind. So I'm just saying, you know, don't be surprised. But be ready. Okay? If I can help you some more, let me know. You have been a tremendous, good audience. God bless you all. Good night.